I'll be reading 1 John 5, 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Good morning. Isn't it a beautiful morning? It is. They are talking about in the morning, there might be some places around the area in the upper 50s. We have not been below 70 degrees in 49 days. This morning was the 49th morning that we've been above 70 degrees in a row. And if the forecasts are wrong, which I can't imagine that ever occurring, that would be the all-time record since we've been keeping record, 50 days. There's never been 50 days on record that we've dropped below 70 degrees, but the expectation is to be in the low to mid-60s tonight. The humidity is going to drop for 2 or 3 days. I mean, it's August. It's coming back, but for 2 or 3 days at least, won't that be wonderful? School is back in. I know we've got some moving into college today, but school is back, and I'm glad because we've got lots of young folks who have visited with us before are back. I just didn't realize they didn't come in the summer. So we're glad school's back in. Parker, welcome back home. We missed you all summer, brother. Good to see you, as well as these pretty young ladies. Got visitors. Glad to see the Browns with us this morning. Glad y'all are here. Always good to see you. Just lots of folks here. Proud that everyone is here today. We're starting something new with our young people. We have committed, as part of the Atlas program, which sends food home on the weekends with those who are homeless. At Walter Hill, we have committed to sponsoring 3 young people. So there's going to be 12 of these little bags a month that we have committed to supply. And so there is a handout sheet that Miss Cheryl has, and there'll be some in the foyer, and some of you already have it, that have the items that we need to bring in for this program. And so we need to stay with the sizes and the items that are listed because they barely fit in the bag. So we can try to be nice and say, instead of getting them a little single pack of cereal, I'm going to get them a whole box of cereal, but guess what? It doesn't fit in the bag. So we need to make sure that it fits. But here are the items. And what we're going to do is each Sunday morning, as we're doing the offering, passing the trays for the offering, our young people can come and bring those food items and put them in these baskets that are up front. So the baskets are not for the little kids. I heard that this morning. They were for kids. They're not for the doll babies to be in today. They're not for the laundry. I've heard all 3 of those this morning. I'm not sure if they thought we were going to start doing laundry at church. I'm not sure. But they're for these food items. And so the young people can bring those down when we're taking the offering starting next week. So here are the items. If you want to bring like the little peanut butter crackers, better known in the South as Eat-A-Snacks. For those of you who don't know what Eat-A-Snacks are, that's what Eat-A-Snacks are. If you want to bring a whole box of those at one time and bring them, you can. Or if you want to buy them and let the kids bring them up 1 or 2 at a time, that's fine as well. You know, so they'll have something every week. That will be fine. But you can kind of make a decision about that. But here are the items that we need to bring. And we're going to do this each week and have the young people come down. And if you have a real little one, if you need to help them come down, you can certainly do that. But we want to supply those. We've committed to doing that. And I think that'll be a great thing. So that will start next week. And here are the items. I say you don't have to bring them all. But just bring what you can as you're shopping to know that's available, and we'll start doing that. If you have any other questions, feel free to see Stan or Cheryl about that, but hopefully that's fairly self-explanatory. And nothing like some spaghetti and meatballs, some Chef Boyardee, or macaroni and cheese. That's hard to beat. And also, Tony says they're great when it comes to Frosted Flakes. I'm a Frosted Flakes man myself, especially when the peaches are ripe. There's nothing better than a peach on Frosted Flakes. It's better than a dessert. Not better than every dessert, but it's better than lots of desserts. But it's a good thing for us to do, and we'll work with that program. So help us with that, and it'll be great for our young people to get in the habit of giving. We read from 1 John chapter 5. And it talks about loving God and loving Christ and having faith in Christ, which is important. We've talked about faith. That is, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we must believe not only that He exists, not only that He is, but that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after Him. And not only is it important that we have faith, which is the over, without faith, we're just out. We're out without faith. And faith is something that grows, isn't it? It's important for us to realize that. Faith grows. So we must cultivate our own faith. And it's important that we're patient with others as they are maturing in their faith. You know, it's so easy to forget from whence we have come. I remember, and I try to remember this often, when I first took office in the trustee's office. You're elected on about the fourth day of August. You take office on the first day of September, and then you immediately get the Monday off for Labor Day, which was one of the great things. You start to work and get a day off. I said, I've arrived. But then on October 1st, you mail out the tax billings, which is kind of the rush time in the trustee's office. We do a lot of other things, but that's where if something's going to be, if there are going to be questions and problems, it's going to come out October the 1st when you do the tax billing. And I can remember the first tax billing. I'd been in the office for a solid month and recognized that I was not the expert. And I can remember the phone ringing and my staff saying, Mr. Beatty, this phone call is for you. And I can remember looking at the phone before I answered it every time going, what question can the person on the other end of the phone possibly ask me that I will know the answer to? And I didn't mean that ugly, but it's just a lot to... But I found out that about seven answers answered about 97% of all the questions asked. They were kind of repetitively things people didn't know. And I knew probably four or five of those and learned the other two pretty quickly. And then I learned to say, well, can I take your number? I want to check and get back to you. And then I'd get an answer, and that's the right thing to do. But it was the same questions kind of over and over. Everybody kind of had the same questions. What I try to remember now, that it's not my first year, is that when people call and ask those questions, while now they are routine with me, you know, I've answered them for years and know how the whole process works, that for that person on the other end of the phone who's asking that question, how many times have they asked it? Sometimes every year. We know those. But as a general rule, it's the first time they've asked the question. And they are just as unknowledgeable about it as I was years ago. And so instead of going, I can't believe I've got to answer that call again, I need to answer that question with the same enthusiasm, with the same detail as I answered it the very first time, because for that person, it is the first time. It's the same way with our faith. Sometimes it's hard to remember the thoughts, the questions, the doubts, the struggles that we had. But we need to remember when someone's coming along to be patient and kind and instructive and corrective if necessary to help them come along the path of faith that we've been on. And never to forget from whence we have come and the learning process that comes with faith. The growing process of faith. And hopefully as we've gone down the path, we have proceeded further. If we hadn't, that's another issue. But to be patient with others and encourage them along the way. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then we have to make the decision, the determination. Are we going to love God? Are we going to love God? I rarely have a conversation or a phone call with someone who has called, wants to talk about faith in God or religion. And I use those terms because it depends on where you are, it's what you want to talk about. We understand that. Where people don't already have some knowledge and most of the time some faith in God. Now when I say that, they may be at different levels of maturity and knowledge, but will have some faith. There are a lot of folks who don't because they don't have any knowledge and who just begin to seek. But most of the time, the folks that I deal with, and maybe it's just the opportunities that I have, where I am, the way I present myself, I'm not sure why I don't reach out to more folks who are seeking from less of a foundation, but they'll have some knowledge of God and even would have faith. If you ask them, do you believe in God? Yes. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Now, will they understand what all of that means? Well, no, but I don't understand what all that means either. But, you know, they may not know all, but they believe that in God the Creator, they believe in His Son Jesus, and will believe in the sacrifice of the cross. They've typically heard that and know that. And then the question comes, now, what in my life am I going to do with that? Because maybe they have ignored it to a large degree. Maybe their knowledge comes from childhood. They went to church when they were young, maybe with mom and dad, very often with grandparents or neighbors. And now they've reached an age where they want to know more, they're questioning more, they're seeking more. And so it becomes to, I believe in God and I believe in His Son Jesus and I believe in the sacrifice, but I never have really done much with it. Now, are they hoodlums? Most of the time, no. Are they fairly decent moral people? On the most part, the folks that I deal with are. Some are traitors, and so they're not, but most of the time, that was a joke. Y'all can laugh. But what are they going to do with God? What decision am I going to make about God? And I thought, loving God, just like loving other people, is a decision that we make. I understand we can fall in love. And we can talk about love at first sight or whatever. But that typically, that type of love only lasts for relatively a short period of time. And really love comes down to a commitment. Am I committing to loving others? I can like people, but am I committing to loving people? Which says, am I going to sacrificially do things for their benefit? And am I going to be committed to caring for them and being involved in their lives through the good times and the bad times? Because that's what love is about, is this commitment. And we see it so richly in the story of Ruth and Naomi, don't we? For a woman who says, I love you, Ruth says to her mother-in-law, I love you and therefore I am committed to staying with you and caring for you, even though I'm not sure where you're going and really what opportunities you can provide for me, but I love you and therefore whatever we're going to face, we're going to face together. That's really what that commitment is about, isn't it? And Ruth is about making things happen and God blesses them for that. But that's love, this commitment to care for her mother-in-law and to be with her. So we have to make the decision, the question comes to us, are we going to love God? Not just believe that He exists and believe in His Son, but are we going to love God? Are we going to be about serving God and honoring God and being concerned about God's business and about God's children, which is about loving others? Are we going to make that commitment? Because sometimes that's always a harder commitment to make. Are we going to love God? I may believe that He exists and I believe in His Son, and very often I believe, yes, I want heaven. But am I willing to make the commitment to love God as He has loved me? And we know the level to which God has loved us. It is a sacrificing love God has for us. The sacrifice of His Son. It is a love of patience. Because if we can be sober and honest, how many times in our own lives, I'm not talking about human beings in general or societies as a whole, because that's easier to look at. We read it through the Scripture. But in our own lives, how many times have we lived in such a way, said things, done things, had rebellious streaks in our life where God could have, and maybe where we're in His shoes, we'd have been really tempted to write us off, right? I still remember the 1980s comedy skit by Bill Cosby that you might remember. Bill Cosby as himself, still one of the great comedy skits ever, where Bill Cosby says, he says to his son, "I can take you out and make another one just like you," right? You know, and all of us with children have felt that way. And then sometimes we get to the point where I can take you out and I have no interest in another one just like you. But God created us and literally has that power, does He not? Remember what He says to Moses in his frustration with the children of Israel as they leave Egypt? Moses comes to the opening of the tabernacle, to the tent where God is, and God communicates with Moses, "Moses, you're the only one who's really been faithful to me. I'm going to wipe them out and I am going to create a new nation through you. We're going to start over. They are rebellious and wicked and selfish, and I'm going to start over with you." And Moses then prays for the people, for God not to do that, because one, he says, "God, don't let it be said that you brought these people out of Egypt and then destroyed them." So God is forgiving. And that's the way God is. And that's what He calls us. If we're going to love God, we have to be that same way toward others, right? And know that God has loved us, and so we must be kind and forgiving and loving. And that is a decision that we have to make. Are we going to love God, knowing that He exists and respecting His power? Are we going to love Him? And I could spend a lot more time on that, but I'm going to move on. You get the point. Because where I want to end, and what I think is an extremely important point, is if we believe in God and we've made the decision to love God and to follow God and for Jesus to be Lord, are we going to keep His commands? Because the evidence, the practice, the showing of our love for God is to keep His commands. I'll just admit to you, I find it a little frustrating that so often as Christians, we will profess a faith for God and a love for God, yet it doesn't reflect in the way we live our lives. Our lives are really not significantly different from the world. There's a disconnect there. Because it's not just about keeping God's command on Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday night. And you know that. But it's about being God's people and following His commands every hour of every day and every place that we find ourselves. in every situation. Because remember, we talked about Jesus being perfect. And I said what that means is every interaction, every conversation, every confrontation, every place, everything Jesus ever did was just as God would have it. Just as God would do. He was God in the flesh. He was perfect. That means in everything He did God's way. He did it God's way. It wasn't He just was about God's business in religious matters. It wasn't He was just about God's business when He visited in the temple. But He was about living a godly life in everything that He did. And if we're going to love God and have faith in God and keep His commandments, that means in everything we do, we do it God's way. That we know His commands and that we live them. John will tell us His commands are not burdensome, and they're not meant to be a burden, but they're meant to bring glory to God and to bring welfare for us. It's the proper way for us to live. Do we know the commands of God? That's the first question. And maybe as the pulpit minister here, I should say, well, I hope so, but do we know them? Because we don't get them just on Sunday morning. We talked about it in our adult class this morning. It's something we should drink from God's Word and know. But do we know the commands of God, the truths of God, what God calls us to? Because remember, the way we do things, the way we live, the things that we practice and preach and teach and that are part of our lives are not the principles that you and I have decided on that they are right or they are wrong. That's really important. They are not the rules of the group. I've shared with you that when I turn on Andy Griffith and it's a color episode, I normally just move on. If they're not in black and white, I normally just move on. But the other night, there was a color one on and I watched for just a few minutes. And they were all a part of a fraternal group, I assume, and I don't remember all the details. They were trying to get Howard Sprague in, but Gomer is standing at the door in his fez, and it's a door painted gold, and you have to knock on the door and say, I think it's a request entrance into the golden door of good fellowship. And Geronimo was the password. And so I know this group would have its set of rules when you entered the golden door of good fellowship. That group has its rules. And they decide what those rules are. But the church and God's people are different. I say, and it's not just when we enter the doors of the church building. But as followers of God, God's commands are universal. And we've just agreed to accept them. They're not God's commands for the church. They're God's commands for how mankind should live. And as the church, we have said, yes, we believe in God. Yes, we love God. And therefore, we're going to keep His commands that are for all people. We don't decide what those are as a church. We don't vote on, is this right or wrong? And I know sometimes we hear about different groups voting on something, whether it's right or wrong. Now, there are some practical applications of things that we can make decisions on. But the Scripture is the Scripture. It's not ours. Whose church is it? We talked about that first off in our Bible basics class in the auditor or in the adult class in the fellowship hall. Whose church is it? It's the Lord's church, right? It's the Lord's church. And who is head of the church? The Lord is. Jesus is the head of the church, which is His body. And so who makes the decisions? God does. What's right and wrong, God decides. The commands are God's commandments. And we surrender to those and follow them. Follow God's commands. If we're going to be faithful, we're going to love God, we have to be about following God's commands. So we have to know what they are. And they're revealed to us in the Scripture, the commands of God. Then we have to make a decision we're going to follow them. Because if our life doesn't reflect the commands of God, are we loving God and truly following Him? No, because the Scripture says that by following my commands, you show that you love me. You can tell your spouse every day, multiple times a day, that you love them. But if your actions never reflect any care or concern about them, are they going to believe it? No. We know. And there are many relationships that we might have. Maybe it's with our spouses. Maybe it's with our children or our parents. Or maybe with friends to whom we have a very close relationship. That the terms rarely, if ever, are spoken, I love you. But if you were to think about who loves me, there are people in your life who have never said that word, but by their actions, you know they love you. Because they're concerned about what's going on in your life, and they're there when you need them, and they're concerned about your best interest, and you have that kind of relationship where you know, if I have a need, day or night, I can call them. Not just because they're good people, but because they care about me. They love me. And so we know that. And so saying, I love you, Lord, does not have the power nor the meaning for us to live God's commands in our lives. Too many people striving to say that they are godly, and maybe even deceiving themselves thinking that they are, don't reflect godliness in their lives. Their lives aren't changed. They're hateful. They cheat. They're unfaithful. They're impure. Not the things God has called us to. It's not enough just to believe. It's not even enough just to love. But our love must flow in that we live lives following the commands of God. Because they're there for our well-being and to bring about glory to God. And that's what He calls us to follow His commands, to walk in His ways, to be His children and to reflect Him. So encouragement to all of us is, let's seek the commands of God. Let's know His ways. Let's know who God is. And let's follow His commands as we live our lives. Let our lives reflect that. The way we treat our families, the way we treat our neighbors, the way we go about our business, our integrity, our fidelity, that it is a reflection of the God whom we love and serve. Because Jesus, in love and obedience, died on a cross for us, that we might be cleansed of our sins, of which we have, that we might be cleansed and can walk in a newness of life, that is about service to God. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.